The Bible reading tonight for the Bible study is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. And I want to look at this passage that deals with the temptation of our Lord Jesus in the wilderness. And I want to consider tonight in particular the Christ who would not kneel. The Christ who would not kneel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. The Lord will bless the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The temptation of our Lord Jesus by Satan is a timely reminder to all Christians that we have a very real enemy in the person of Satan. He is a real being. He is a fallen angel. He has much power, and he is vehemently opposed to all that is of God. It is interesting that when our Lord Jesus addressed the devil directly, he did so not referring to him as the devil, but rather in verse 10, referring to him as Satan. Then saith Jesus unto him. This is the Lord speaking to the devil directly. And he said, Get thee hence, Satan. He uses the term Satan because that term in the original Greek scriptures literally means the adversary, a sworn enemy, one who is opposed to us. And the Lord is reminding us that we have a very real enemy. He is our adversary. He is opposed to the people of God. And against him, we are exhorted in Scripture to be vigilant, and we are to resist him. We must not make light of this enemy, but rather we must be diligent and vigilant. We must be on our guard, and we must resist the devil at every opportunity. But added to this, when we read this passage that focuses upon the temptation of our Lord Jesus by Satan, we are also encouraged to find that we have a Saviour who is greater than Satan, a Saviour who has overcome the devil. Yes, he was tempted, but he obtained the victory. And he is able to identify with us. He is able to sympathize with us because we have a Savior who is able to succor those who are tempted. Notice the identification that the Lord Jesus made with us in our humanity. You'll notice in this passage that in the three instances when the devil approached the Lord, each time he said, "If thou be the Son of God." And right away you have the devil casting doubt, casting a slur upon the deity of our Lord Jesus. And he will always seek to do so. He will always seek to conceal. He will always seek to despise and to deny the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. If thou be the Son of God. But notice how the Lord responded to him in the first of these temptations. Verse 3, the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It is most interesting and most instructive to ponder the verse of Scripture that our Lord Jesus chose to respond to the devil with. This text of Scripture taken from the book of Deuteronomy, it focuses upon man. You can see that. Man shall not live by bread alone. Now the devil has come to the Lord and he's casting doubt upon his deity. If thou be the Son of God, in other words, prove that you're the Son of God. Prove your deity. But notice how the Lord makes identification with our humanity. And he refers to himself as man. He is the last Adam. He took a real humanity with a real body and a reasonable soul. He took a humanity that enabled him to be brought into that realm of temptation so that he can identify with his people. The Lord Jesus identifies with us. He was really tempted. And the essence of that temptation was so much greater, infinitely greater in its effect and its impact upon him than any temptation that the devil places upon us. Because the Lord Jesus is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. There is nothing within him that the devil can allure. He is holy in every part of his being, in every part of his humanity, and therefore the very suggestion of something that was contrary to God in itself was a tremendous burden upon the soul of the Lord Jesus. And yet he entered in to that humanity in order that he might be tempted, that he might suffer, but yet prevailing, he might be able to succor those also who are tempted. This passage taken just on the surface is a reminder to us that temptation is no new experience. It's not a strange experience for the people of God. If our Lord was tempted, then we should not think it strange if we also are tempted. But notice how he responded to those temptations. Each time he draws an arrow, as it were, from the quiver of God's word and he shoots that arrow against the devil's temptation. Each time he answers, "It is written, it is written, the Word of God," thereby showing to us as his people that our solace and our refuge and our strength and our security is not in ourselves, but it is in the Word that has proceeded from the mouth of God. That which is the Word of his promise, that which is the Word of his grace, that which is the Word of his strength, that's where we will find the strength and the grace to face temptation and to overcome. Each time we are directed to the Lord himself, when the Lord draws attention to his Word. But it's this last temptation recorded in Matthew's Gospel that I want to focus upon primarily. It directs us to the realm and to the subject of spiritual worship. Verse 8, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Luke's account gives us just a little bit more detail. Verse 5 of Luke chapter 4, "The devil and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." A moment of time. What a moment of time that was. When the devil brought before the eye of the Son of God all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 6, "And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." What a temptation this was. Remember that many another person has had far less brought before their gaze. But the devil brought all the kingdoms of the world and all the power and all their glory before the eyes of the Lord Jesus. And he said, "I will give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. If you will bow to me, I will give it to you." This is a very interesting incident and temptation, because it highlights to us what Satan's desire is. Satan desires and Satan seeks after the worship that is due to God alone. This is what he sought. "I want you to worship me," is the essence of the temptation. "If thou wilt fall down and worship me." He is seeking to detract from, he is seeking to rob God of the glory that is due to his name. Seeking to rob God of the worship that belongs to him alone. The Bible tells us that Satan, when he was created at the beginning, was created as a holy angel. But something came into his heart when he looked upon the glory of God. He desired to be like God. He desired the adoration. He desired the worship that was given to him by the other angels. And he said, "I will ascend to the throne of God, and I will be like the Most High. That has been his aspiration, his ambition ever since. To take God's place, God's prerogative, and the worship that is due to him. That is something that we must always keep in mind. This temptation reminds us, what is it that motivates everything that Satan does in this world? It is motivated by this ambition to rob God of his glory and to obtain for himself the worship that is due to God alone. This is what Satan's desire is. This is what he seeks after. But you'll notice that Satan's understanding of worship is greatly distorted. Notice how he approaches the Lord in this matter of worship. He took him up to the high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. He viewed worship as a matter of exchange. If you fall down and worship me, then I will give you all of this. He's viewing worship as something that was to that had to be bought, as it were. I must give you something in order to obtain this worship in response. But notice the scripture that our Lord Jesus quoted to the devil. Verse 10, Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Notice that the worship of God is coupled together with service on the part of the worshipper. And that text of Scripture informs us that true worship, true biblical worship, true spiritual worship is not a matter of exchange. It's not something that's given in order to obtain something else. It is viewed here in the context of what is the obligation of the creature to his Creator. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Oh, this is not about the worshipper receiving something in exchange for the worship he renders. No, he worships God because all that he has been given to him by God already. He worships God because of who he is and what he is and what he has done. He worships God because God is worthy of that worship. Oh, do you see that the concept of worship, as set forth in Scripture, set forth by our Lord Jesus on this occasion, altogether different from the concept of worship advocated by the devil. Oh, fall down. It's almost as if he's begging. Fall down and worship me. He's craving this worship. And it's as if he has to bribe the Lord Jesus to worship him. If you fall down and worship me, I will give you all this glory in exchange. And isn't that so often what emanates, what is propagated in Christian circles? If you have to beg somebody, if you have to bribe somebody in order to worship the Lord. It's not true worship. It's not true worship. True worship is that which flows from a heart that recognizes all that I have already has been given by the Lord. My life, my breath, everything I have already received from Him. My very existence I owe to Him, and therefore I can do nothing else but worship Him. Satan's understanding of worship was distorted. But you'll notice finally the Saviour's refusal to bow down, the Saviour's refusal to kneel. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. In other words, I will not bow the knee to you. I will not fall down and worship you. And he quotes this text of Scripture, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What is the Lord doing? The Lord is guarding the worship of God. He's guarding the prerogative of worship, and the prerogative of worship belongs to God alone. That's what our Savior was doing. He was guarding the subject, the realm. He was guarding the very issue, the very subject of worship itself, against the encroachment of the devil, seeking to rob God of His glory. Can you imagine what the devil would have done if our Savior had fallen down and worshipped Him? But our Savior guarded the prerogative of worship. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. And of course, that was a command to the devil as well. Because remember, the devil is a creature, created angelic being who fell. And he's under the very same obligation of all creatures to worship the Creator. Our Savior reminded him of this great command that the devil has disobeyed. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But let's bring it right down to a personal level. You'll notice the personal pronoun thou. And that brings us right down to our individual level. This is our requirement. This is what the Lord places upon us. Thou shalt worship. We were created to worship. Now we are commanded to worship. And as the Lord's people, we must, like our Savior, we must contend for the worship of God. We must not give His glory to another. We must not allow another to place his or her hands upon the glory of God and the worship that is due to Him. There's a battle. It has been raging right from the fall of Satan. A battle in this realm of spiritual worship. There's a battle at this very moment in time, in this world and in our own land, regarding the worship of God. We must not be naive. We must not bury our heads in the sand. We must see exactly what's happening. This is a battle for the worship of God. And the worship of God has been hindered, and it has been restricted, and it has been restrained. And man has no authority and no right to intrude upon the realm of spiritual worship. And as believers, we must look at our Saviour on this occasion, when the devil came seeking to rob God of His glory, seeking to rob God of the worship that belongs to Him. And our Saviour said, "Get thee hence, Satan. It is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." Our Saviour refused to kneel. He would not bow. In this great battle, we must not only contend for the worship of God, but we ourselves, we must bow before the Lord. Psalm 95 and verse 6 says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." May God give us strength in these days to declare our allegiance, to kneel our colours to the mast, to worship God according to His word, according to what He has revealed in the Scriptures of truth. And may we fulfil this great command, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts, for His name's sake. Amen.